Today on Real Life Radio.
Have you seen yet God move? Have you seen God work? What have you seen God do? If you've seen God move, if you've seen God work, you can't be silent. You will not be shut up.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Have you ever wondered what it would be like to travel the world and swim with wild dolphins along the coast of Ireland? Or walk the war-torn beaches of Normandy where so many lost their lives fighting for freedom? Or to sail the ancient prophecy-filled seas of Israel and Egypt? Well, it may be time to check out Now I See. It's a book by Jenny L. Coate and takes you on an ocean voyage around the world to discover life lessons that point to God's goodness and grace. Her spiritual insights will have you thinking about the sea in new and inspiring ways. Learn how to approach faith from a new perspective and apply Jenny's biblical teachings to your life when you order Now I See. Experience the Lord where He once walked along the shore of His birth and His death. Now I See. Spiritual Life Lessons from the Sea by Jenny L. Coate. It's available at our website for a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. That's at jackhibbs.com/realradio, jackhibbs.com/realradio. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called 1 Corinthians with the message titled, The Christian in Love Makes for a Church at Work. 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth, and he shares with us how much he loves Jesus and his church. You see, we can't say we love the Lord, and at the same time, nothing really comes out of our lives for his church. The believer, when in love with Jesus, will always be effective in church ministry. So today we learn that the Lord is looking for people whose hearts are willing and ready to live for him, no matter what. It's a matter of taking Christ everywhere we go. Now, with his message called The Christian in Love Makes for a Church at Work, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The Christian in Love Makes for a Church at Work. Let me explain the title of today's message. The Christian, that's us, in love, that's with Jesus, amen, makes for a church at work. We cannot say we love God and not be moved and activated by the power of God. It is impossible to say that you love God and nothing comes out of your life that confirms your declaration. For years, we have preached and taught that we would not be a spectator church, but that we would in fact be New Testament believers. In light of this title, and in light of 1 Corinthians 14, it is an amazing thing and it's a powerful thing to realize that the Apostle Paul's heartbeat for the church was that the church at Corinth would stop playing games, that it would stop its clickiness. It was very, very clicky. You can read that in the first three chapters. And then it was carnal. You can read that in the chapters 4 to 7. Its marriages were all broken up. They were sleeping around with other people. They were allowing all kinds of sins, all kinds of immorality, and Paul was speaking to them, and in the midst of all the love that God had been announcing to them, Paul was saying, all these things are true, God loves you, but boy, are you messed up, and God's got a better plan. And listen, we need to hear that today as a church, that no matter who we are as believers, God's got a better plan than what you and I have been thinking. This morning, you may have walked in your life as a Christian, it may be carnal. Paul addresses that in Corinthians, that it's carnal. That is, you know God, but you're not walking with God. And God has an altogether different life for us as believers. The Apostle Paul followed in the steps of Jesus, and we should follow in the steps of both of them. They loved the church universally and locally. They loved the church. And because they understood, of course, Jesus giving birth to the church, Paul, an apostle to the church, understood that the local church communicated the Great Commission, that is the giving forth of the gospel and the living out of true faith, which was to take place to the ends of the earth. You know this, but I'm going to ask you to jot it down in your note-taking. Vitally important. And I'm speaking to the church here this morning. If you're visiting today, we're glad that you're here. But this is a talk of exhortation to the church regarding our evening service tonight. Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came to them and spoke, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Listen to what he says with all that authority. Go therefore and make disciples, that's done by teaching and giving opportunity to serve, of all nations, all peoples, all ethnic groups, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, or behold, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age or the end of the world. Jesus said that, and that applies to you and I right now this morning. Christian believers, when they heard that, saw the birth of the church on the day of Pentecost, and watch this, 2,000 years ago, the church, without a printed New Testament, they had the Old Testament, but they didn't have the New Testament, not yet printed, not yet given, the Holy Spirit grabbed the believer on the day of Pentecost and compelled them by love, constrained them by love to reach those that were just outside the door of their home there in Jerusalem. Listen to this. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says, but you shall receive, well, frankly, the word is, you shall receive dynamite, dunamis in Greek, dynamite. You shall receive dynamite power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now watch the fulfillment. A lot of verses this morning. Are you ready to write them down? Acts chapter 4, verse 17. Did that really happen? Did the Holy Spirit come upon them? What happened once the Holy Spirit did come upon them? Acts 4, 17. But so that it spreads no further among the people, this is the threat from the religious hierarchy. Let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name, the name of Jesus. Church, listen to me. Keep the verse up on the screens. Watch this. And I know your first service, and I know it's early, but I need your enthusiasm. And that is a biblical word, by the way, the word enthusiasm. Based on Greek, en is to dwell inside, theos is God, asm is action. When God dwells within a person, there is action. I need your enthusiasm because God dwells within you, the believer. Look at that verse. But so these people threatened, these leaders, governmental leaders hooked up with religious hierarchy said regarding Christians, so that this spreads no further. Stop your Christianity. No more speaking about this any longer. We're going to pass laws to keep you from evangelizing people. We are going to pass laws to keep you from distributing Bibles. We are going to pass laws to keep you from erecting a cross on the top of a hill that you even own. Even though you own it, you can't put a cross on it. Watch this. Let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name. So they called them and commanded them not to speak or teach any longer in this name or the name of Jesus. Verse 19, but Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. Oh, I would to God that pastors and Christians would have this spirit today. Listen, that was a joke. Pastors and Christians do have this spirit today. If we would just wake up to the facts that God wants to use you in a powerful way, believer. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So that begs the question, Christian, pastor, Christian worker, church, have you seen yet God move? Have you seen God work? What have you seen God do? If you've seen God move, if you've seen God work, you can't be silent. You will not be shut up. If you were clamped down on your mouth and you cannot speak against or speak for Christ, I should say, you would have to speak up because you cannot lie against the truth. Verse 29, go a little bit further. Verse 29. They pray, "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word." That is a prayer we pray for all of you. "By stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through your name for your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Church, family of God, that is not to be historic. That is to be perpetually present in the life of the believer. This morning, if you claim Christ, then listen. It is the will of Christ that you speak and live the word of God with boldness. You are to be encouraged by the Holy Spirit. When you love Jesus, the Holy Spirit will seize upon your life, and out of your life will flow the works of God. You won't have to sweat. You won't have to do a thing. The Spirit of God will work in you. And when a church, listen, when a church, and I love this, when a church is little, God can do mighty things. You say, "Pastor, are you crazy? This is a big church. What are you indicting? Are you indicting this church?" Oh, no, no, no. Listen, this church is little. Every church where God is at work, in my opinion, in my biblical observation, is little. It doesn't matter about the size. Don't count people in a church. First of all, only God knows in a church who's his for real. Let's make sure. Listen, I don't know who's who here. You say, "Well, Pastor, you and I know each other." I understand that. I'm not talking about that part. God knows your heart about you being a true believer or not. Listen, God uses small things to do tremendous things. God gets all the glory when it's a little handful of people to take a stand. He sees that incredible, invincible, ridiculously contradictory little group that's invincible, because look, it's impossible for them to do anything without him who's the God of the impossible. So when the school board takes a stand and there's only five of them against the ACLU and everybody else, who shows up? God shows up. And when a Christian stands up and says, "You know what? This is not going to happen on my watch. I'm to be salt and light." Or look, this person is sick. I'm going to step out of my comfort zone. I'm going to lay my hands on them, terrified to death that I'll look like a fool, and I'm going to pray for them anyway. God will honor your effort and step of faith. So if this church is a number of thousands of people, who cares? We are nothing compared to the vast need. We are a little group of people. If we are dependent upon God, church, it'd be awesome to see what the Lord wants to do. It'd be exciting to see what he wants to do. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:14, "These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly," said Paul. "But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God." He's not talking about the temple. He's talking about the church, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, from Sacramento to Washington, from your doorstep to the ends of the earth, listen, truth is to come out of us. And we are to stand for truth. I got news for you. If you have not seen the movie Monumental, you must go see it. Don't sit this one out. It's only here for a week and it's gone. Go see Monumental. I thought I knew all about American history and God's involvement in America. There's stuff I learned. I was upset. I didn't know that. It was amazing. You say, "What are you bringing this up for?" Because you need to see the four Father's Monument in Plymouth, the blueprint recipe of how to keep a nation together. It's laid out there at that hilltop. I've never even been there. I didn't even know about it. And it's all biblical. Somebody stood up and said, this is how a nation needs to be kept. This is how this nation needs to be kept. God's got to be the center of this nation. Someone bold stood up, fearlessly bold stood up, and did this. It's the largest granite monument in North America. I didn't know that. Did you know that? Because we're not taught that. It's about truth.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Regarding truth, truth should come forth from the church. Right now, people laugh at the church. Right now, the church has no credibility. Because, listen, far too many believers don't know the truth. The truth of God's word is this: Jesus Christ loves sinners. He went to the cross to die for us. He rose again from the grave. And when that happens, liberty begins in the heart and we're set free in all areas of life. It'll change the culture forever. And listen, what if the entire nation or the entire world is in a handbasket heading to hell? It doesn't have to be that way about your home. It doesn't have to be that way about your family. And it doesn't have to be that way about this church. Not while I'm alive. The Christian, listen, when in love with Jesus, guess what happens? I just realized, I'm so excited. This is all introductory. I haven't even got to my points yet. John 7:37, listen. John 7:37 is an awesome bit of scripture. The Bible says, on the last day, that's a code word, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Verse 39. But this he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. He had not yet been risen from the dead on the last day. What does that mean? Listen, it's nowhere in Old Testament commands, but the Jews did this as a tradition in Israel, at the temple, and during the time of Christ. Watch this. For 7 days, during the Feast of Tabernacles, the Jews would go with big buckets, big urns, huge. They would go and they would scoop up water from the pool of Siloam that gushes out from the earth. It's there to this day. Listen, we were just there recently. We walked down into it. You can walk in it. It's coming out of the ground. They would go down and scoop up the water, and they would take it to the temple steps, and they would pour it out, and it would flow down the temple steps. It was beautiful. And Jesus, listen, on the last day, interesting, for 7 days they did it, and on the eighth day was the last day they did not do it. Guess what Jesus did? Look how awesome your Bible is. Jesus, on the day that they did not pour out the water, Jesus goes and stands at the place where they did pour out the water 7 days earlier, 7 days up to the day before previously, and Jesus shouts, some of your Bibles say with a loud voice, that's exactly accurate. Jesus says, "If you believe in me, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water." Stop right there. Why did he say that? Because listen, it ain't an easy walk from the steps of the temple to the pool of Siloam and back. Jesus said, "You don't have to walk around anymore like that. You don't need to carry pots on your shoulder and pour out water symbolizing the presence of the living God." Jesus says, "You believe in me? Hey, listen to this. Out of your innermost being will flow, gush." The word is to gush forth torrents of living water in the life of a believer. How will we recognize a believer when we meet a believer? Out of their innermost being will flow rivers of life-giving water. A believer gives life everywhere they go and stands for life, defends life, votes for life, speaks of life, gives life, life. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The word righteousness is to do the right thing, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Christian, I exhort you this morning. be ready to be filled afresh with the power of the Holy Spirit. You come tonight as we pray and we lay hands upon one another, which is biblical, and say, oh Lord God, creator of heaven and earth, come upon us as a church. We're desperate tonight, God, will be our prayer. Move in our midst. Take us and galvanize us to your cause in this 21st century. If you don't want anything to do with that, honestly, please stay home. If we have three people here that are hungry for God, that's enough. I mean that sincerely. We will seek him with all of our hearts. The gifts of the Holy Spirit God desires to give to the church. Somebody might say, well, you know, maybe some, maybe none. Maybe the ones that we think. And when I read my Bible in the book of Acts chapter 2, I want to settle this argument once and for all. The Bible says when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the believers in Acts chapter 2, Peter cited the book of Joel being fulfilled 2,000 years ago. Bible scholars, listen up. Regarding the church, and by the way, during the tribulation period, regarding the tribulation believers, which predominantly, think of it, that's will be many Jewish converts to the Messiah and many Gentiles of the world. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit, my friends, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are going to be seen more profuse, more profound than ever. Don't tell me that some of them are gone or done. Peter says, this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel, that in the last days, God will pour out his Spirit. Hello, we're 2,000 years later than the last days. It is as late as it can get. And you expect God to have left you and I powerless? Isn't the world evil and dangerous and getting dark? Yes, but isn't it interesting that there are more people we hear global coming to Christ than ever before? Did you know that? I heard a great statistic the other day. I believe it either came out of Josh McDowell's ministry. It doesn't matter whose ministry it was. I forget. It doesn't matter. But the commentary was picked up, and it was a debate or an issue among Islamic imams complaining that Islam is losing thousands and thousands of Muslims per day converting to Christianity around the world, and they don't know what to do about it. Isn't that awesome? Why? Because Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He rose again from the grave. He gives new life. He gives freedom and liberty, which is something born in the human heart. It's one of the dispensations of God's grace in our hearts that we would love freedom. And that freedom begins with the forgiveness of sins. And Peter argues that this is what was spoken about by the prophet Joel. And so Jesus says, I'm with you even into the ends of the earth. How much time do we have left? A few minutes? Point number one. The Christian in love makes for a church at work. This way, will you write this down? If you don't write it down on a piece of paper, then write it down across your arm or your forehead. But I'm dead serious about this. I highlighted it in my notes. Number one. Expecting, listen, if you're in love with Jesus and you want to see a church at work, be expecting to receive your spiritual gift or gifts by the Spirit of God. Expecting, circle the word expecting. I want you to be pregnant with hope. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. If you're a Christian, you are to be expecting to receive your spiritual gift or gifts that God has decreed for your life. Because you know what? There's work to be done for the kingdom of God. There's work to be done.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called The Christian in Love Makes for a Church at Work. Thanks for being here today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians. It's a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Today, more and more Christ followers are living out their faith no matter what. And one way we can help is through our website. At jackhibbs.com/realradio, you'll find access to Pastor Jack's devotions, YouTube channel, podcasts, Facebook, live streamed events, and so much more. Again, our website is jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. And don't forget to download the Real Life mobile app for on-the-go access to all that Pastor Jack has to offer.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.